All right. So it is 6:04, calling the July 20th meeting of Laws and Rules and Government Services to order. Jay, could you please take attendance?
Chairwoman Bartels.
Present.
Deputy Chair Roberts. Legislator Gavaris.
Present.
Legislator Heppner.
Here.
Legislator Ronk.
Present.
Chairman Donaldson.
Here.
We currently have 5 members present and 1 absent.
Okay. Everyone received the June 15th, 2020 meeting minutes and transcripts. Has everyone had a chance to review them?
I'll move we accept the minutes.
Okay. Okay, all in favor of accepting the minutes as presented?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. We're going to move into resolutions. I'd like to entertain a motion to, we have some guests here, to take the late resolutions out of order. I see Commissioner Turco and Deputies Commissioners Fuentes and Quigley. I'd entertain a motion to start with resolution number 263.
I don't think we need a motion. I'm no objection to starting with 263.
Okay. All right. So late resolution number 263, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter an agreement for a cybersecurity remediation grant program with the New York State Board of Elections, Ulster County Board of Elections.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Right. Okay, great. Legislator Ronk?
Thanks. Did you want to have them give a brief overview before I start debate?
I did. That's fine. Was going to ask if the deputies and the commissioner would like to say a few words about the program.
Basically, it's a state-run program. This is Tom Turco. It is an ongoing cybersecurity measure. The state, I believe 2 years ago, this started, 2018, and now there's funding available. We're putting in to request the funding so we can make the necessary upgrades to all the areas identified through this program as being weak in Ulster County. Please keep in mind there's nothing critical that's going to blow up our elections or anything. However, there are improvements that we need to make, and using the state grant will help us make those improvements. Questions?
Deputy Commissioner Fuentes, did you want to add anything to that? I don't know if you're trying to speak, Deputy Commissioner, you're muted if you're trying to speak.
I'm going to see if I can unmute.
Okay, now you're unmuted. Okay, sorry about that.
So the grant is in partnership with Information Services. So we had to work collectively with Information Services to identify equipment purchases and remediation efforts that we all agreed on. So it presented additional challenges, which is one of the reasons why it was late.
Okay. Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. This presents, I think, probably the third resolution in 4 months from the Board of Elections that's been late, and that hasn't followed our proper process for late resolutions. The absence of a late memo, in this resolution, the absence of actual time constraints, because the backup of the resolution shows that the email that came from the state about this grant was on, I believe, June 9th, which was nearly 2 weeks before our resolution deadline. I know that, of the 3 times in the last 4 months, this is the third time when it's grant money, which we're obviously Stand by. Not going to say no to. You know, but again, I'll be the only voice of concern with the one county department that doesn't follow our resolution policies. And actually, we have extensive amendments that we're going to need to pass tonight because they didn't follow the resolution policies, and it never made it to the Department of Finance to go over budget amendments. So, you know, this is my token time of the evening where I talk about how this is the one department that doesn't follow our processes. I'm sure that the rest of you are going to ignore it, but I feel like it's a problem that continues to happen. And, you know, most of you just stand idly by. I can't stand idly by, you know, when our staff have to jump through hoops and, you know, and then follow through with amendments after the resolution has been late introduced. I think there's a problem, and I think that it's incumbent upon the chair of the legislature and the chair of laws and rules, the two entities which can declare something like this late, to do something about it.
I will start out, Legislator Ronk, by apologizing for us having late resolutions. I will also mention that these are very unusual times that we've went through with this year's election process. The amendments you discuss, I may not have the entire grasp of such, but regarding the finance end of things, we have been in touch with the finance department about how these grants work. Bert is well aware of it. He's worked very well with us, and I commend him for that. The amendments, I'm guessing, probably would have to happen whether we're late or on time. And I will say this, you know, we're putting this in now only because we feel we have a slight opening before it gets crazy for the general election that maybe we could put some improvements through that have been mentioned you know, security issues to address. However, having said that, this is our third one. If you'd like us to pull this and put it in for next month, I am happy to do so. We're not looking to cause problems or make waves. Trust me.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Commissioner, I believe that this needs to be executed by next week, which is why it's late, which isn't my concern. My concern is that the email that came down from the state regarding this grant, which is included in the backup to the resolution, came well before resolution deadline. The amendments that are needed are because the resolution wasn't put through the finance department prior to introduction. So we actually need to amend it to include language that amends the Ulster County budget to accept the grant money. You know, which with any other resolution that comes from any other department, whether overseen by another elected official or the county executive himself, would go through the finance department, even if it was a late, to ensure that if there are any amendments to the budget that are needed for the resolution, that they happen, which hasn't happened here. You know, I understand these are unprecedented times, and you know, the last couple of late resolutions, two of the last three late resolutions prior to this one, you know, legitimately qualified as a late, but were not, you know, accompanied by a late memo from either yourself or Commissioner Dittus, you know, and I felt didn't follow our proper process. You know, I know our clerk is getting, you know, kind of exhausted of doing some of the pre-work on these things as well. You know, but again, you know, I'm not going to ask that we not move this forward, because if we don't move it forward this month, you know, we're going to lose the grant money because of the deadlines involved with the state. But eventually we're going to have to say no to something, because again, this is the third time in 4 months, and unprecedented times or not, this one legitimately does not qualify as a late because of the date that the state made us aware of it.
Can I just say, Ken, that we did not actually have a hard copy of the grant material until July 4th. That was an email that was sent to us. And we were working with IS to try to come up with a plan and determine whether or not they could undertake this program into July. And as you may or may not be aware, we didn't even have a final program until last Thursday.
Legislator Ronk?
Okay, Mr. Quigley?
If I might add, I do know we will be having one more resolution come to you guys, hopefully before Friday at noon, if I am to remember the resolution deadline. We will make sure that that is in timely and in order for you guys. And to speak to any future grants, we'll try and do our best to keep it in the timetable and timely, hopefully. The only other 2 cents I care to add regarding this last one is that although we may have received information on June 10th, it happened to have been right while we were processing roughly 10,000 absentee applications, if not more, and to have gotten that work done regarding this grant between then and the 23rd would have been difficult, but I can speak to the fact that the process was ongoing throughout the election cycle because we had to set up multiple meetings with information services. And working with them, they took their due diligence to make sure that they got us exactly what they wanted, which is why we might have had a little bit of a hold up in making sure that we got the numbers from them.
Legislator Ronk, you had your hand up earlier.
Thank you. Just for future reference for both Deputy Commissioner Quigley and Fuentes and Commissioner Turco, our clerk, Vicky Fabella, is very helpful. And if you had any of this information prior to resolution deadline, even if you let her know that you're not going to have all the information right away because of the election going on, you know, we can put in a placeholder resolution. You know, we can do some of the pre-work ahead of time. And, you know, waiting until the last minute and then giving it to the legislature when you have all of the information isn't necessarily the best way to go, especially when these are department heads that are appointed by the legislature as a whole. So it's a little different than working with somebody that's appointed by the county executive in that, you know, I feel like we should have a better, you know, line of communication that if you know you've got something coming in and there's, you know, the executive's office even tells us when they know they have something coming in, even if it's not going to be all there and it can go before one of the originating committees. I just feel like there's a lot of things that could be better in this process. You know, if you only got some of the information on, you know, June 9th, June 10th, you know, it still gives the clerk and the clerk's office a couple of weeks head time to be able to plan for it rather than have, you know, late resolutions every month. Like this resolution that Mr. Quigley is talking about, perhaps you have some information that would be helpful to Vicky and Jay and the rest of the clerk's office to be able to help us plan for it rather than have all this emergency work done at the end.
Well, that's very good advice, Legislator Ronk, and we will take that into consideration. And as FYI, I was actually in touch with Vicky today about the upcoming resolution. We're hoping to, both deputies mentioned, be on top of the game this time.
Yeah, and I've asked for the same, just not just in terms of allowing the clerks, the legislative clerk's office to know, but to allow the chair of the legislature and myself as chair of this committee to know. You know, I think I recognize you in one moment, Chairman Dalton. You've all apologized well enough. I appreciate that there have been three lates, and I just want to also correct and point out that this does qualify as a late in that there are financial financial consequences at this point if we don't act, and so to not accept it as a late, I think would have been a problem. Chairman Donaldson.
Yes, I agree. It does qualify for late because we could lose the revenue. But I also want to thank the Board of Elections for the diligence and all the hard work they've been doing and the grants that they've been pushing to get. And I appreciate, we all appreciate that work that you're doing. And I know very well that you were pretty much swamped with all the absentee ballots that you had to deal with at the same time trying to get this grant done. So thank you for your work.
Legislator.
Thank you.
Thanks to Chairman Donaldson and Deputy Chair Bartels. I just sincerely hope that should the executive's office ever have information about something 2 weeks before resolution deadline, I sincerely hope that you think that that qualifies as a late as well, because I don't think that this does qualify as a late under the spirit of our rules. I understand that under the letter of our rules, because we could lose grant funding, it is a possible criterion to qualify as a late, and it's why I'm going to support it tonight. But to behave as if, you know, grant money that was known about well before resolution deadline, because they didn't submit the resolution by resolution deadline, that now all of a sudden we have to say, well, it definitely qualifies as late because we could lose grant money. I don't feel like your attitude would be the same if it were the sheriff or the executive or the district attorney or anybody else.
I would appreciate you not characterizing my attitude, but the chair
can speak for
me. I said I don't believe Legislator Bartels. I did not say you wouldn't. I was very careful.
Chairman Bartels?
Yes.
Yes. I kind of resent that also, but the point is they pointed out that they got the information 2 weeks before in an email, but they didn't get the paperwork until well into July. Plus, they were in the middle of counting ballots, and they didn't get this in, and we have to have some leeway. Commissioner Turco pointed out, the times are quite different, and they're trying to deal with everything, and they're juggling, and all kinds of balls are up in the air at the same time. And I want to commend them for getting it done. And instead of chastising for getting it done and bringing it in late, they got it in and they got it. We're going to get the money. Isn't that nice?
Legislator Ronk, did you want to speak again?
I resent it all you want. I've lived through times when Chairman Donaldson, you have had a problem with late resolutions when the information has come after resolution deadline. Not even resolution, information that's come before resolution deadline, as this has. I understand that there's been a lot going on at the Board of Elections, and that they've had a lot of issues with the governor's executive orders and everything that's gone along with them that have caused a large amount of paper to have to be counted. But eventually, we're going to have to start following our own rules, and eventually we're going to have to start expecting that our departments are following our rules as well. And, quite frankly, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What happens the third time you get fooled? This is 3 out of 4 months where the same department has had an issue with our resolution policies. Maybe I'm the only one who cares, but I'm used to being the only one who cares about stuff. So it's fine.
Okay, you're very caring.
Does anyone have any new points to be made? Anything to add to this conversation? Okay, so on the resolution number 263.
Is there amendments that have to be made?
Yeah, there are.
Yes, there are. Thank you for reminding me. I got so caught up in circular conversation.
The process.
So the amendments are in the packet. Jay, are you able to put them up?
It amends the budget. The amendments amend the budget because the resolution did not amend the budget to accept the grant money.
And yes. So has everyone had a chance to review the amendments?
Yes.
Okay, would anyone like to move the amendments that are in the packet
presented
here now on the screen?
Hold a second.
Okay, on the amendments.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Okay. On the resolution as amended.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Okay, the resolution as amended passes unanimously. thank you, Commissioner and Deputy Commissioners, for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. If we can now take late resolution number 264, setting a public hearing on the sale and or transfer of lands owned by Ulster County located at Golden Hill, City of Kingston, to a local development corporation to be held on Tuesday, August 11th, 2020 at 6:20 p.m. Do I have a second? Discussion? Okay, and we have Dennis Doyle joining us today to speak on the issue. I'd like to ask Dennis to tell us a little bit about this before we open for questions. You, Dennis, you flipped back to mute. You went off for a second, but you're back on mute.
Okay.
There you go. Hey,
am I unmuted now?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to start with an apology to the chair. In all the emails that were exchanged with respect to building up to this late resolution, there was one person that was left out, and that's the chairwoman, and I apologize for that. What this resolution does is, as we went through the process of looking at what we needed to do in order to surplus lands to a development corporation, one of the sections of the law that governs that requires the legislature to hold a public hearing prior to that property being surplused. The county executive is considering submitting a resolution to the legislature for its consideration in August to surplus the property associated with the lands on Golden Hill. I did provide the committee with a late resolution memo in terms of why we thought it would be justified to submit this as a late resolution. We also supplied the committee with a map of the lands that we are considering to be surplus on Golden Hill as it relates to housing development. The legislature has gone through a number of housing initiatives with respect to the need for affordable housing and workforce housing in the county, including a resolution that directed the county executive to look at lands that were potential to be used for the county lands had a potential to be used for housing. County Planning Department has identified those lands on Golden Hill associated with the former jail property and approximately about 19 to 20 acres, depending upon how you measure it. And looking at that, we thought that those lands would work. We put out an SOQ, a statement of qualifications, to developers to see if there was any interest in those lands. The county received back 5 very credible proposals for that SOQ, and we're in the process of essentially looking at those responses and deciding which would be a preferred developer. That decision would rest with the development corporation itself. In order for us to essentially transfer the lands, we need essentially that public hearing. If we do not hold the public hearing at this particular point in time, there's a chance that we would miss the window for funding that's going to open up at the state level probably this fall. We have as of last Friday, the state opened up what they call their housing 9% tax credit and other housing programs, which are due back in August. And that request for funding applications from the state also includes an indication that there will be a second round of funding in the fall. So we're looking to try to meet that deadline for a second round of funding to allow whatever developer is chosen to make that application for the state funding.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Dennis? Okay, so on the resolution itself, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Even though it's late, I'm an aye.
Are there any opposed?
I'm going to recuse myself for purpose of employment.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And thank you, Dennis, for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move back to the beginning of the agenda items. Resolution number 7, still number 7, adopting the Ulster County Code of Conduct. I'll entertain a motion for discussion.
I'll move it for discussion.
Do I have a second? If I could begin by saying that we had a meeting, myself, Legislator Runk, and Haynes. Legislator Heppner was only able to attend for a couple minutes due to conflict, and counsel from both sides of the aisle. And we have not yet reached consensus. We're waiting for some comments in writing from Legislator Runk. I don't know if
I'm working on them. I haven't quite gotten there yet. You know, it's complicated because the, you know, comments in writing include, you know, a lot of what are going to be highly technical, you know, penalties as part of the code of conduct. You know, I would prefer, you know, I think that by next month I can have those comments and we can have another meeting, but if you'd prefer to move forward now, there's nothing I can do about it. I mean,
no, I actually don't prefer to move forward right now. If you're still engaged and want to participate, we can wait for that. And then I'm also working to put the rest of, even though I've provided it to you in writing as it relates to the
ethics.
The ethics, yeah. I'm looking to put that into a distributable packet.
And that's the ethics law is a conversation that the executive's office had had interest in having a meeting with myself and you and a couple of others, I believe, but I think that the global pandemic got in the way.
It did.
So I think that that's something that we need to work out with the executive's office as well on the ethics law, you know, which is, again, you know, we've said privately and I've said to you privately and publicly that I think that, you know, they're two separate conversations and there's a reason they're two separate conversations. I think one's significantly more complicated than the other, but they're both complicated in different ways.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion to postpone this again with consent, or we can take no action, whichever way the committee wants to proceed.
Yeah, you know, I move we postpone it until the next meeting.
Okay. And second from Legislator Heppner. All in favor of postponement until the next meeting? Aye. Okay, thank you. Resolution number 233, adapting proposed local law number 2 of 2020, a local law establishing construction apprenticeship training requirements for certain construction contracts in excess of $350,000 and repealing local law number 2 of 2015.
I'll move it.
Okay. Thank you, Legislator Heppner. Second. On the resolution, is there any discussion? All in favor of resolution number 233?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none. Resolution number 234, adapting proposed local law number 5 of 2020, a local law amending chapter 37 of the Code of the County of Ulster regarding automatic recanvassing procedure in and for the County of Ulster, State of New York.
I'll move it.
Legislator Runk, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Legislator Heppner. Legislator Runk.
Thanks. I just want to make everybody aware that we may need to further amend this after next month because the resolution that's coming forward from the Board of Elections, I believe, is going to be the purchase of a central canvassing machine for absentee ballots. And we may need to include language about the use of that machine and or the objections to said ballots in that policy. So I'm going to support this change. I think it's good, but I just want to make everyone aware that we may need further amendments after that resolution. Hopefully, knock on wood, it'll be on time. But we may need more amendments to this following that. So.
And I'll reach out to both commissioners on that subject as well, since that's what I anticipate the next next resolution from their office to be as well. Any other comments on this? Okay, on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, unanimous. Resolution number 236, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 8 of 2020, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the administrative code for Ulster County to clarify budget modification after adoption to be held on Tuesday, August 11th, 2020 at 6:15.
I'll move it.
Second.
That's Legislators Runk and Heppner. On the resolution, discussion? Okay. On the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Okay, passes unanimously. Resolution number 237, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 9 of 2020, a local law amending various sections of the Ulster County Charter and the Ulster County Administrative Code to reduce the Ulster County Legislature to 21 members, to be held on Tuesday, August 11th, 2020 at 6:20 p.m. I'll entertain a motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Okay, Legislator Heppner moves, Legislator Donaldson seconds. Discussion, Legislator Monk.
Thanks. I mean, we've had a couple of public hearings on this over the years. You know, we're heading into a redistricting. I believe that the new date that we have to have referenda to the Board of Elections by is prior to our August meeting. So I don't even know if this can get on the ballot prior to election day. So I'm hesitant to support it. I think that we should go a lot further than 21 personally. I know I'm in the minority on that, but you know, I don't know if there's any other thought from anybody. I do believe that it's in the first couple of weeks of August, that's the new date that we need to get referendums to the Board of Elections to be on the ballot this year by. Is there anybody that can either confirm or not confirm that?
So,
Mark has got his hand up.
Yes, I see him. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, so I spoke with Commissioner Dittus last week about this, and it actually, I mean, has to do with the previous local law as well, but that August 3rd is the deadline. The state law changed this year and it's now 90 days prior to an election. So any referendum have to be there by August 3rd in order to make it on the November 3rd ballot.
August 3rd. Chairman Donaldson.
Well, and when will the redistricting take place again, Mark?
2022. Or 2021 for the 2022 elections. Yeah. Or 2022 for the 2023 elections. Sorry.
All right, so if we pass it now, the charter revision, it would get in on time for that. In order to be, in other words, for the redistricting, your main mindset is if you're going to reduce it, we reduce it just prior to the redistricting, so you're not redistricting twice.
Yeah, I get that. I just don't see the rush right now. I feel like we do this and then we don't follow up on it, and then we do it and then we don't follow up on it with the public hearing.
Well, we didn't follow it up on it because last time I don't think we even had a public hearing. We did have a public hearing.
Yeah, we did. Up and twice. We had this public hearing twice.
Yeah, we went into a COVID situation and then, you know, things got lost in the shuffle.
I think we had this public hearing like last November or December.
Right. So, I mean, it's up to the committee's pleasure. I mean, I'd like to get it done with and move on. And then once the public hearing's done, we can do it. And then we know that it's set up ahead of time.
Any other comments? Legislator Heppner?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely, as Legislator Rock said, have discussed this, you know, a handful of times already. I, you know, still philosophically am not there. And I don't know if it's a more in agreement with, you know, Legislator Rock in terms of more, or, you know, an agreement that, you know, we should move at all. I think actually Tom made a good point in the chat section about the Charter Review Commission meeting next year. I mean, I think this is something, you know, I still have yet to hear more than, you know, one or two arguments that, you know, speaks to us totally, you know, changing the face possibly of the body. So philosophically, I'm not there, but I'm willing to go with the will of the committee in terms of if they want to start the process in terms of a public hearing. I won't go against that, but that's about where my comfort level is with this.
Chairman Donaldson?
Well, it creates a, it slightly empowers the legislative body, but the problem with if you're going much lower, then it changes the nature of the body. This really wouldn't change the nature of the body. Now, if you want to change the nature of the body, have had that conversation, say you want to do 9 and full time or something of that nature, that's another conversation. What this does is just it enhances the body by assuring that a 2/3 vote is just that, a 2/3 vote for any particular, for approving certain things or overrides and things of that nature. And that's the purpose of it. And in fact, it was originally that was the mindset was being 21, but it became a compromise because people didn't want to cut that deep. And they ended up arbitrarily taking a 23. So.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I think in a lot of ways, Chairman, it's a hard argument to make to the public because this is going to need a referendum. It's a very detailed, very policy-centered, very wonky argument to talk about the difference between 16 and 14 for an override. I understand and I agree with you about how it empowers the legislature, but I also think you're going to need to find a catchier reason to give to the public, because the public is going to, you know, come down on this on the side of no unless they're given a reason for yes.
I kind of doubt that. Anytime you're reducing something, they like that.
Legislator Roberts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I get the veto argument, except for maybe a handful of times that we could have used the override. What we have now is working. There is very little complaints. I had no outcry to reduce the body. So I'm going to be a no on the referendum and a no on the public hearing.
Legislator Gavaris?
Yeah, I'm not really hearing other than the override. What other benefit are we gaining from this? I mean, there's some pretty diverse districts that we have, and to now spread them further apart and expect to adequately represent people with different needs, it seems like we're making that even harder for people. You make a district bigger, and then you're competing against yourself. It just seems more difficult. I don't see it. Other than the override, I'm not hearing what other benefit there is. And maybe I'm just not hearing it. But if there is, I'd love to hear the explanation.
Chair Donaldson?
Well, there's the salaries and possible benefits is another one. I mean, that's, you figured 14, 28,000 plus the benefits, which can run as much if it's know if they have a family plan stuff. So there is that.
Okay, so what's the pleasure of the committee? If it's confirmed that it would have to be in by August 3rd to be on the ballot. Is that correct? That's what Deputy Executive Ryder said.
You have the votes to pass it anyway.
But I mean, even beyond that, again, if we're talking about a timing issue, it would not make the ballot unless we made significant changes or had a special meeting, correct?
Right.
A special meeting of the legislature and then a...
another special meeting.
We would have to have this meeting pass the public hearing, have a special meeting. We would need to change the public hearing as of right now on this resolution. Then we would have to expedite the public hearing and then have a special meeting in order to get it to the Board of Elections by the 3rd.
Well, no, I mean, again, we're talking about extraordinary circumstances, which is what I was pointing out, but we could change the date of the public hearing right now for.
That's what I'm saying. We would need to change the days of a special meeting and then have a public hearing that's wildly expedited.
We're not going to
have another special meeting.
They're not going to make it, is what I'm saying. I get
it. You're not going to make it by August 3rd anyway. So then it's a push. But the thing is that I don't want to sit it back on the back burner again, then forever, and then have to rush it through or whatever.
So what would you like to do, Chairman Donaldson?
Well, we could, if, I mean, it's up to the committee. If they want to pass it, it's not going to get on the ballot. We realize that there's not going to be any rush to get it on the ballot. Once it passes, it goes on the ballot the following year.
Okay, so Legislator Ronk, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So to Legislator Gavaris's point and Legislator Roberts's point, you know, why don't we do some work in this committee on whether or not 21 even makes sense, or does another number make sense, or does it make sense to leave things the way it is? You know, 21 has always been used ever since Fred Waddell was chair. For the purposes of the folks who are on the line and whoever watches this, if they watch it later on, at 23 legislators, the number to override a veto is 15.18, which of course you can't have, 0.18 of a legislator, so it moves up to 16. If you go down to 21, because of what two-thirds works out to then, it's like 13.97 or 87, which would reduce the number to override a veto from 16 to 14, which would, in theory, empower the legislature. But I'm not sure that that's the right number. I've never been sure that that's the right number. And I think that it's worth a discussion before we pass a public hearing and pass, a local law and send something at some point to referendum or to the Charter Revision Commission, that we actually have a whole conversation on what number makes sense and why.
Chairman Donaldson?
Well, I don't know where you got that 13.8. 21 is divisible by 3, even. It's 777, so 14. Even you put 13.8 there. Typically, when you look at these things, and if you read through the literature, it's basically divisible by 3, but not by 2. Because if it's divisible, like for instance, you've got 12 is divisible by 3, but it's not. It's also divisible by 2, which means you would have an even. You could have 6-6 votes all the time. I mean, that's the way you're typically looking at these things. So, I mean, I'm making it. My mindset is it empowers the legislature by doing this, and it makes sense. And basically, what most places, if they're creating a new government or something of that nature, that's the way they kind of look at it. Divisible by 3, not divisible by 2. So, and that one works.
Legislator Ronk?
Thanks. Due respect, Legislator Donaldson, two-thirds is 0.66, not 60%. If you divide 100 by 3, it's, 0.33, and then it goes to 0.66. So if you multiply 21 legislators by 0.66, you get, and I was wrong, I was off by a tiny bit, it's 13.86 legislators. So the divisible by 3, I understand your reasoning for that, and I'm not a mathematician, so if somebody else is a better mathematician than I am, please feel free to pipe in, but that's the number that I get for two-thirds of the legislature. I understand where you're coming from. It's just
that's not two-thirds of the legislature.
I don't think that works with the basic, tenets of mathematics.
You're using 0.66. It's not 0.66. It's 0.66666666.
Okay.
And one-third. It is 7. It's 7 and 14. Easily divisible by 3.
Okay, whatever you say,
you
Dave.
Me to, you set it up as an algebraic equation. I used to teach algebra.
But either way, it ends up being 14 because 13, if even if we were to give you the point of the argument, there's not
a point. We got to piss and moan about it.
Yeah, I feel like we're way off track. I think what we should be discussing is, do we want to spend a little more time in this committee since we can't hit the August 3rd deadline in a reasonable way with the resolution as it's written? Do we want to spend a little more time looking at the arguments for the reduction in the size and if there is a number that would make more sense, both that we could recommend to the public and to the revision committee, which is coming up next year? Chairman Donaldson, do you have any thoughts on that since you're the sponsor of the resolution? Would you?
Yeah, we can postpone it. Okay. I'm fine with postponing it.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to postpone, and that would be until the next meeting, but we also need to start thinking about actually having that conversation in committee. We'll try to pull together some information. Legislator Hebner, are you raising your hand to speak or to make the motion?
Oh, I was going to second Legislator Roberts' motion.
Oh, Legislator Roberts, thank you. And seconded by Legislator Hebner to postpone until the next meeting. That's with consent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, now we are up to resolution number 239, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 10 of 2020, a local law amending local law number 10 of 2015, amending local law number 10 of 2008, pertaining to change orders and amendments to contracts equal to or exceeding $50,000 to be held on Tuesday, August 11th, 2020 at 6:25 p.m.
So moved by Ronk.
Second.
Seconded by Hebner. On the resolution, is there any discussion? Okay, Legislator Ronk?
Just, you know, very briefly, I think that this continues to make sure that the legislative intent of the first, change to this particular portion is adhered to. So I wholeheartedly support this in memory of my good friend, Carl Belfilio.
Thank you. I thought of him very much while I was putting it into, so I appreciate
it.
All in favor of resolution 239?
Aye.
Aye. Is there any opposition?
I think his passing is a little premature, though.
In memory of him being a legislator, Dave, not in memory of him as a person.
Okay.
He's still with us.
Thank you. Okay, resolution number 251, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease with CPR Kingston LLC Bank for space to be used by the Board of Elections, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. Legislator Ronk, motion.
I'll move it.
Thank you.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Hebner. Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I just sincerely hope that we, you know, in coming years, work with the county executive to try to find a spot in the county office building for the Board of Elections. I think it'd be a good place for them. And quite frankly, I think that we have opportunities to work together to make that happen. So I totally support this. It's definitely, you know, I think a couple years down the road to make that happen because it's going to involve a referendum on surrogate court probably. But I just think that that's a direction that we should move personally.
Okay. Legislator Hebner, did you have your hand up?
Yeah. I mean, I was literally just going to say I 100% agree with Legislator Ronk, you know, in making sure that, you know, on our end that we keep, you know, pushing for what I think and agree is the right change to have in the county building.
And I'll echo that too. I'm going to jump in before you, Mark, when I give you the floor. I agree. I think that the county building is the correct place for it as well. Deputy Executive Ryder?
The only thing I want to add is that it won't, I don't know that it'll necessarily take a referendum. The courts have reached out. They would like surrogate court at the courthouse. It would just mean, you know, it would be work with the DA and others to figure out how to move some space around in there. But there's plenty of room in the courthouse for surrogate court. And I think we can probably make this happen in the next couple of years, year or two.
Even better.
And that would be great. Okay, so is there any more discussion on the resolution? Okay, so then on the resolution 251, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Is there any opposition? Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, is there any old business that anyone would like to discuss? Okay, any new business? I would just like to raise before the motion to adjourn, I would like to undertake a look at the rules. I think we're probably due for a rules revision, and I'd like to follow the process that was put forth by then Chair Roberts of this committee, where we dedicate at least one meeting to that process, where we go through page by page if everyone comes with their notes. I don't think it'll be the next meeting, but maybe we'll set a special meeting for it. I think we've, over the years, uncovered some not significant changes that need to be made, some small changes, some bigger changes, but I'd like to start having that conversation. So I just want to put that on the table for everyone to think about.
Madam Chair, isn't going through the rules once and all?
You got cut off at the end, Legislator Roberts. I lost the end of what you said.
Kev, isn't it once in a blank?
I don't know, we lost you, Kevin. We can't hear you.
His screen probably froze. Oh, he's gone.
We lost him, okay.
Well, that takes care of it. I don't believe that there's a time limit on the rules revisions. I think we can do it. Oh, there's Kevin back again.
He's back. That was quick. Legislator Roberts.
You're muted. You're on mute.
I don't know if you heard my comment before, but I'm sure Legislator Ron could agree that going through the rules once in a lifetime might be enough.
Okay, I agree now, yeah. That time limit I agree on.
I have to tell you, I think it was a very smooth process. So I'm gonna keep that spirit moving forward. We'll be able to get through it.
I support your endeavor to hold a special meeting. I think it definitely warrants it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if there's no other new business, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you all.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right, everyone have a great night. Thank you very much. All in favor? Adjourned.
Aye.
Aye. Sorry, Jen.